Hello, Pastor Sam here. Welcome to Our City Church's YouTube channel. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for encouraging messages, you're in the right place. Please enjoy today's message and make sure to like and subscribe and comment and share it with a friend so it can encourage them too. Now, enjoy the message for today.
This is the last one for our sermon series on questions. Has this been good so far? Come on. I really think this has been a good sermon series. And we talked about who God was, who Jesus was. And I even talked about who, you know, the salt of the world. That's what God has called us to be, salt and light to this world. And last week, I preached a message called Why Do We Doubt? So many times we doubt, but we got the one in the boat with us that can take us wherever we need to go, so we don't need to doubt. But today, the title of my message is, what is the importance of water baptism? Should I be baptized? Can I get baptized more than once? I've been baptized in creeks, ponds, lakes, tubs, wherever. Now, do I say that you have to be baptized multiple times? No, I don't. But there were just times in my life I felt like I just needed a refreshing. I just needed a cleansing. I just needed a time to be, just to get my own self straight. But let's dig right in here. There's a big event about to happen. There's a baptism about to take place, and this is when Jesus gets baptized. Everyone around didn't really know what was about to happen. They were just coming to the water. They saw John baptizing. They never knew that the Son of God was coming into that place right now and what was about to happen. Matthew 3:13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me? Here, we see that baptism brings humility. John the Baptist had to let go of his pride. He had to be humble. You know why? Because John had spent 3 years in the wilderness. There was a ministry where thousands of people were coming to John to be baptized. But John did this. He could have said, this is my time. This is the time that God set for me. But he had to understand the further scope of what was about to happen. But John the Baptist realized the moment, and instead he said this, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Come on, he knew what presence was around. He also said in one place, I must decrease so that he can increase. Everything that John did pointed to Jesus. Here today, I'm telling you, this church, Jesus is our message. He's one of our core values. Jesus is the message. Politics and government rest upon his shoulders. Jesus is the one that can help you. We've been trying to help ourselves. If we could have fixed it a long time ago, we probably would have already done it. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you've been searching for an answer in your own ways and the things you're doing, listen, I'm all about trying to make ourselves better and do things that we need to be better. But sometimes we got to know he is the only way. He's the only truth, and he's the only life. Religion restricts, relationship releases. John wanted, oh, come on. We get so bound up in what we've always known. It restricts us. It keeps us to the place where we can't move forward because we've always thought this way. We've always done that this way. But when you get into a relationship and you get to know who God really is, who Jesus really is, it changes the scope of everything. It allows you to be able to talk to a God through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, that's personable. It's a person you can come to and say, God, I'm having a, anybody have a bad day every once in a while? Come on, get your hands up. You have a bad day every once in a while. If you have a bad day 7 days a week, you need to come to the altar here in just a little bit. You the problem. Thank you, babe. She has told me that in our marriage in these last 15. I think you the problem. And you know what? About 92% of the time, she was right. But John wanted to point everything to Jesus. He said, me baptize you? I'm not even worthy to carry your sandals. I'm not worthy to even touch you, Jesus. Here John was being very humble. And sometimes we think that we're not good enough to do some things. We think that, do you find yourself like John sometimes? I'm unworthy of this and I can't do that. I can't handle that calling. Jesus, that just seems so great to me. I don't know if I can do it. But there was thousands of people sitting around and they had no food. And there was a little boy that said, but he said, bring the lunch here to me. Come on, it ain't what you have, it's what you give to him. He said, bring those 2 fish and 5 loaves here. And he took that and he multiplied and he fed over 10,000 people. I believe Jesus is still asking the question, Pastor Mindy, if you won't go to the bikers, who will? If you're not going to take the time to go speak to people who are saying the devil is their Lord, come on, those people need Jesus too. And sometimes it's, come on, it ain't Bible thumping sometimes. Sometimes it's just being the light of the world. It's having a conversation with people. Pastor Rich, if you don't go to Kroger, who will? Joni, if you didn't invite your family, who will? Carly, if you didn't invite them at Askin Creek to come to church, half the church wouldn't be here. Michaela, if you're gonna love those kids, if you don't love them, who's going to love them? And I heard Michelle made a friend at Cracker Barrel, but she's been checking on her. Who's gonna love the people you come in contact if you don't do it? Like John, we gotta be obedient. We have to do what God's called us to do. We do, remember this, we don't qualify ourselves. God qualifies us. So many times we don't do anything because we feel like we're not worthy enough or we don't have the education. You don't even wanna see my transcript from college. It was bad. But we use that, we hold that against it. I haven't been to Bible school. I haven't done it. It bothered me for a lot of years that I haven't had these accolades. But God qualifies you when you're obedient to do what he's called you to do. Come on, he called us several years ago to start teaching a bunch of kids. We ended up with having 150 high school kids. I don't even know how to talk to these kids because I wasn't cool. After a while, I started being coolier. I don't know if that's even a word. Help me, Lord. But God started showing me I'm not somebody else. I need to be me. And when I became me, we become us, God started moving in these young kids' lives. Let's read Matthew 5:15. But Jesus answered and said to him, John, permit it to be so, for thus it's fitting for us to fulfill righteousness. Then he allowed him. So why do we get baptized? Why do we get baptized? Sorry, my allergies and crying all at the same place. But baptism is an outward sign of one's inward obedience. Validation comes after obedience, not before. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says you must be born. I'm giving you the basic gospel right here. You must be born again. It says if you confess and you believe in your heart, you can be saved. And if we believe that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, then number one, baptism has to be submissive and obedience. Jesus was our plan. He was our example. He said in the garden, not my will. I don't really want to do this, God, but if it's going to make things better for everyone else, I'm going to do what I have to do. Jesus was our representative. Philippians says this, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He identified with our humanness. He identified with the things that we went through because he was human. And Jesus didn't judge them. He jumped in the water with them. Yeah. Come on. He could have stood on the sidelines and see all these people being baptized and said, I'm the Son of God. Can I get in the water with them? Can I tell you, he got in the water with them. This is a word for someone. He wasn't afraid of their mud. He's not afraid of your mess. He's not afraid of what you're going through. You know what? I said it many times. He already knows. He's not afraid to jump in that water with you. People were his purpose, all ages, men, women, races. He associated with sinners, but not with the sin. The Bible says in the world, he said, be in the world, but not of the world. He's in the water with you. He's with you through your pain. He's with you in the process. He's with you, like I said last week, in the storms. He's with you everywhere that you go. Number two, baptism identifies us with Jesus. I'm going to get you to understand this one. Getting saved doesn't lock you up. It unlocks you. I'm going to say that again. Getting saved doesn't lock you up. It unlocks you. So many times I said this one time, man, when I get older, I'll get saved. I'll really go after Jesus when I get older, when I've had all my fun. The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. Because sometimes that season's up. Sometimes that thing you've been holding on to is over with. And I had some seasons in my life. But I'm telling you one thing. Once you get in that relationship with God and you release that to him, you will be unlocked into knowing who you are and whose you are. Because when you discover who you really are, it will give you the identity of who he says that you are. Identity is where the enemy attacks us. Here during this whole sequence, Jesus was affirmed publicly and he was accepted. But in the next chapter, if you want to read that, the next chapter after his baptism, he was sent to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Big moment happened, and all of a sudden Jesus, just like us, had to go into the wilderness and to be, and what he did, the enemy came in and he tried to bring doubt. He does this every day in our minds if we allow him to. If you are the Son of God, you can do this. If you are the Son of God, you can do that. False identity comes from insecurity. I am what I do. I am who or what others say that I am. And I am what I have. Come on, we live in a pretty materialistic world. I am who I have by the sum total of what I bring to the table. And we also think I've got to do something to get God to love me. If I just act better, he'll love me. Can I tell you one thing right now? The more you fall in love with him, the better you're going to act. The more you fall in love with Jesus, the things that used to be a pull on you, the things you really want. I said this a few weeks ago, my language changed. Oh, I used to have a foul mouth. I won't even tell you some of the words I used to say. But it started to change when I started getting a relationship with Jesus. Because my words were like, oh, I'm going to catch that one. I'm not going to do that one anymore because it's going to hurt his heart. It will change your identity. Verse 17, and suddenly, listen, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. God identified, listen to this, he identified him as his son. Maybe you faced family rejection. Maybe you got to understand you've been adopted into a new family. The Bible says you're a son and a daughter of Christ. It also says you got to remember who you are. You're joint heirs with Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians. I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Our true, only true identity comes when we find out who we are in Christ. The truth of who you are is not who you look at in the mirror. It's not our past. It's not our past or future mistakes. The truth is not the names you've been called or how you've been treated. The truth is of who God says you are. Again, so many times we listen to the lies of the enemy and he goes and he rehearses all of those things that have been spoken over you your whole life. And you believe those things and you start to not just believe them, you start to repeat them over and over and over. I think sometimes we need to look into the mirror and not see who we think we should see. We need to see who God sees us to be. He affirmed Jesus, listen, before Jesus ever healed anybody, before he ever performed a miracle, his ministry hadn't even started, before he'd even called any kind of followers, before he died on the cross, before he'd done anything really significant, he affirmed Jesus before he'd done any of those things. And he said he was pleased. Why? Because he was his son. You got kids acting a fool, they're still your kids. I've said it many times. You got kids that are crazy out there in the world right now, they're still your children. He affirmed Jesus because he was his son. Jesus did not have to prove anything else. Come on, we need to move forward out of that same love of the Father. We need to move forward out of that affirmation of the Father, not in pursuit of it. All those things that we've been pursuing, affirmation, trying to be important, trying to feel important, wanting to be admired, all the things we've tried to do to be thought of highly. Affirmation is not from people. People can affirm, but God can approve. Material things in your life, I used to have them. Never made me happy. New house, big car, all that stuff, more money on the going up the totem pole. Yet I found myself more miserable. Hey, I like that little money, it's good. But I found myself being more miserable and more miserable the more things that I got. They will leave you empty. So sometimes we just need to take inventory of our calendars. We need to take inventory of our lives. And if being busy is connected to your worth, you have to understand what busy is. If you're not actually serving or going after things that are worthwhile, it's a distraction more than it's a help. The difference between us and Jesus, his affirmation didn't come from his achievements, his connections, his things. It came from whose he was. That's why, listen, sometimes you just got to get up and you have to affirm yourself every day and you say, God really does love me. God really does care for me. Come on. Sometimes we just got to tell ourselves that, Charles, every day. He loves us. He cares for us. We are his children. Value is not the result of doing. It's because of whose we are. And salvation is the key. Number four, baptism is the step. When we get saved, we can feel a change on the inside, or we should. And it's easy to say that we're going to change, but when a trial or temptation comes, we find ourselves faltering and even failing. It's a great challenge to live for Jesus daily. And often we do stumble. We get defeated. And it feels like we don't really want to change. Sometimes we go back to our old lifestyle. But baptism takes you from salvation to public accountability. Baptism means you say, I do. It's official on Facebook once you get saved and you get baptized. You're in a relationship. No, no, no. You're not in a relationship. You're in the relationship that matters. The only one that really matters. You were dating and now you're married. It changes when you're dating and when you get married, right? Can I get an amen on that? Come on. It tells everyone you intend to walk this thing out to the very end. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean that sometimes you're not going to struggle. Sometimes you're just going to need help from others and from him. And you're going to have some questions down the line. What it does mean, the Bible says he will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will be someone to lead and guide you each and every day when you don't know which way to go. Most of all, you have a God that loves you. Number five, baptism is a symbol. Man, if y'all want to start coming up, it's good. Going under the water means being buried with Christ. It doesn't say stay there. Come on, so many times we get buried in the things of our lives. It doesn't say to stay there. It says we need to come up and rise again to new life. Coming out of the grave to new life. 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So many times we feel like that, oh, we just can't achieve this. We have to start believing what the word says. Baptism is not a ritual. It's a new birth. When we give our life to Jesus, we're transformed. He changes us from the inside out. And we know that's a process. We know that's something that we have to work on, sanctification, until Jesus comes and takes us out of here. But Jesus didn't have to be baptized because he was sinless. He didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to do a lot of things that he did. But he gave the example to us. He showed us. Instead of talking about it, he was about it. When we get baptized, we're equipped with three things. God enables us with his presence and power, and the Holy Spirit resides in us. We get that in salvation. Baptism is a seal. God enables us to do and affirms us with his approval to do much more than we thought we could do. But here's the thing. God sends us on a mission. As I said last week, we were not saved to sit in a comfortable chair. We were not saved to just keep this good news to us, because if it's good news, they need to hear the good news too. It's not just for us. If y'all would stand with me, please. Maybe this morning you feel like you're sinking. Maybe you feel like you're underwater right now. But whatever you immerse yourself in, you can come up as. If you start immersing yourself in more prayer and getting in his word and immersing yourself in the right relationships, people that want to grow and not keep you back, what looked like it could drown you, I said last week, you can walk on. But sometimes you just got to jump in. Next week is Baptism Sunday. We got, I think they said 20 people signed up. Ish. If you want to get baptized next week, don't go sign up. But I want you to make a public declaration today to say, God, I want something different. I'm tired of the way that I've been trying to fix all the things and do all the things and the self-help. I want something different. So get ready to sing this song. It's not just the last song that we sing and hopefully somebody comes to the altar. I'm going to ask you to make a public declaration, just like in baptism, to say, God, I'm down here right now. And maybe you just want to come down and worship and say, God, I'm here because thank you so much for what you've done. So many times the altar can just be a place of saying thank you for not leaving me where I was at. Come on, so many times we get the thought that the altar's for a bunch of sinners and a bunch of sin that's going on in your life. Sometimes it's a good thing to walk down and say, oh, I was blind, but now I see. I once was dead, but I'm alive. So I'm gonna open these altars up for praise and adoration, but I'm also gonna open it up for someone who needs a change and a difference from God. Maybe you got family members that need Jesus. The Bible says we're to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. So this altar call is kind of broad this morning. This altar call is for whatever need you might have or whatever praise you might want to give. These altars are open.
If you made it this far, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed that you took the time out of your day to spend it with us. We love you so much. And if you want more resources, please go to rcitychurch.online. We love you so much. Have a good one.